attorney, advocate, author, public speaker. The Lisa Wexler Show. WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler.
And hola, hola. Welcome back. It's 7 minutes after 11 o'clock. In this hour, we're going to chat with a police chief who put it on the line when he, police officer in Greenwich, Mark Kordick, who put it on the line when he decided to fund certain signs that associated Fred Camillo, who is the local Republican nominee for first selectman in Greenwich, to associate him with Donald Trump, which apparently, and also putting something on the bottom of the sign that indicated FredCamillo.com, which actually was a website that Police Chief Mark Kordick bought and directs itself to Citizens for Trump. And Mr. Kordick, Officer Kordick, had a point to make, and he's going to talk with us this hour about that, because he was punished by being placed on paid administrative leave as a result of admitting, yes, those were my signs. So he paid for them. He is not saying who actually put them out, but nonetheless, he admits that he paid for them, and he wanted them shown, obviously. He didn't want them to stay in his garage. So we're going to chat with him about that and the ramifications of his decision and why he decided to do what he did and whether he regrets doing what he did, given the fact that he's now being punished for it. It's difficult, right? To speak out sometimes not only requires bravery, but people get punished for what they have to say. 203-333-9422. Let's never forget that. It takes moral courage to speak up for what you believe in when you're speaking against the crowd or when you're speaking in a way that others perceive to be offensive or out of turn. Simply out of turn. 203-333-9422 on the Lisa Wexler Show. Well, let's begin. We've talked a lot about what's happening in Connecticut, but let's talk about how Connecticut, and particularly our own Congressman Jim Himes, is in the thick of it in Washington, D.C. As Connecticut's House Democrats, representing five congressional districts in Connecticut, were all united on an impeachment resolution. They say this will provide both a roadmap and transparency to the investigation of President Donald Trump. This is in the midst of what I would call two countries right now. As Michael Goodwin, who writes a very good column in the New York Post, he's just a really, really bright guy. You may not always agree with him, but he writes a very good column. He calls this to be a tragedy for the nation and a democracy. So it seems like people are taking their sides. I'd like to know yours. 203-333-9422. Is it good or bad for democracy, what's happening right now? Which way do you see it? It doesn't look like there's any in between. Let me tell you what the Democrats are saying. As the GOP colleagues call the resolution an undemocratic sham, the 232 to 196 largely party line vote, all Republicans voting against, joined by only two Democrats, but every other Democrat voting to approve this. They brought this resolution to a vote, and the resolution is that they're going to move this impeachment inquiry to the next stage. Representative Jim Himes is quoted as saying this: "There is no process that would satisfy the Republicans. The president could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and Republicans would find him innocent." That's what Jim Himes is quoted as saying, our congressman. Do you agree with him? 203-333-9422. He says there is no process that would satisfy the Republicans. The president could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and Republicans would find him innocent. He's not the only congressman who agrees with this course of action. Representative Joe Courtney, who represents the 2nd District, also defended the impeachment resolution. And in fact, he says it gives House Republicans and the White House everything that they've been asking for. He says, quote, "At some point, they have to take yes for an answer. The resolution allows the president and his counsel to request and question witnesses and to participate in the impeachment proceedings once the process reaches the Judiciary Committee, which then writes the articles of impeachment that would then be voted on by the House as a whole. The resolution also establishes the rules for the Intelligence Committee to hold public hearings." So this is where Jim Himes is going to be able to show his stuff to us publicly as his constituents. And he's going to be able to show America what it is and why it is that he has been reaching the conclusions he's been reaching. And he's going to be able to do it in public. Since the impeachment inquiry was initiated last month, depositions of these witnesses have been held behind closed doors. That process has been criticized by the Republicans, even though the Republicans who were in the committee and their staffers were allowed to participate. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who was a Republican, said this is the moment that history will write. History will ask you when you cast this vote, when you cast a vote, to justify something that has gone on behind closed doors. I want you to ask the historian and answer the question, what do you know that happened there? Stephanie Grisham maintains the president has done nothing wrong and the Democrats know it. But Courtney says, no, no. The average person is going to see in public what has so far been limited to questioning witnesses behind closed doors. Representative John Larson, a Democrat of the 1st District, also said the adoption of the resolution is a game changer. The whole unfolding of what transpired in Ukraine will be public now. So let's hear from you, because this thing is moving on. In my view, it's a very big risk for the Democrats if they fall flat on their face. I'm not sure if the president emerges much stronger than he was beforehand. But on the other hand, many Democrats believe they have no choice given the facts they believe to be true. Let's go to Nancy from Stratford. Nancy, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you posed the question, if President Trump were to shoot someone on the street or something, that Republicans would rally around him no matter what?
Well, I posed the question whether you agree with Jim Himes, who said that. Yes. What do you think, Nancy?
Okay, I'm glad you didn't pose that question, because I find that although I'm far more conservative, I've certainly voted for, I voted for Clinton, I voted for Obama the first time, and, you know, I just vote just where my heart is. But I would have to say, I'm probably more conservative thinking than you are, but I do find your program to be very interesting. And
Thank you, Nancy.
Say that Jim Hines wasted his breath and air with such a thing. It's very much like when many conservatives will say, President Trump could find the cure for cancer, and the Democrats or the liberals would find, you know, not find that to be anything great, whatever.
Right. So, so
those questions are foolish.
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. They're just attention grabbers or something. I find this impeachment process, to be a waste of everyone's time and a shame, really, for our country, because they've been talking about this since 3 days after, you know, it's been talked about. They're just unhappy that Hillary didn't win, and I get it. And, you know, I wasn't happy when Obama won the second time, but you suck it up and say that's what the people voted. Let's get to work and do what we need to do make the country function and to be good. And not this business. This is just, and it's just getting into where some of the hierarchy of within the government, things like FBI, CIA, too much of that seems to be determining the trend or the focus of where we're going. It used to be that the people we elected were the ones who were responsible. So I'm frustrated on many fronts, and my comment regarding Jim's statement would be that was a silly thing, and just stop with it. Let's talk about facts as best we can.
Yeah, because what you're saying basically is the hyperbole, the exaggeration. It really undermines anything else, because once somebody resorts to that, then you tend to not hear anything else they may have to say, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay, and thank you so much. Keep on doing good stuff, because I do enjoy this after this morning time. I'm out doing errands. I'm actually pulled over in a parking lot in my car, but that's when I tend to catch a lot of what you of your programming, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you, Nancy, and I'm glad that you participate. What I like about your call, and obviously about your thinking, is that you're an open-minded person, and that's what I try and be. I try and just sort the facts as I see them, and sometimes I'm voting for someone on one side of the aisle, and sometimes I'm voting on someone for the other side of the aisle, and I think that we need to get back to doing more of that, Nancy. I really do.
Exactly. All right, well, you have a great day.
Thank you.
Keep on doing.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Nancy. 16 minutes after the hour, we'll be right back. So as Donald Trump waves goodbye to New York, Andrew Cuomo says good riddance. 203-333-9422 is our number. Call me at 203-333-9422. And you know, they have this public persona now of hating each other so much, but they spent years cozying up to each other. You know, it's really such a New York story, right? Cuomo and Giuliani and Donald Trump. Come on. They all knew exactly how which palms had to be greased and which way the wind had to blow for them to get things done. Cuomo's not a novice. He was born into politics. And Donald Trump has said for years before he became president, I had to pay everybody. I was a developer. I had to pay Democrats, pay Republicans, whoever the politician was, I had to smear him. That's the way he talks. That's what he used to say. 203-333-9422. So in the meantime, I was telling you a little bit about Congressman Jim Himes. He is really at the center of this. But he is not the only one from Connecticut. In fact, the Connecticut congressman, all five of them are on the same page, supporting the resolution from the House Intelligence Committee, of which Jim Himes is a part. And now the impeachment process begins. Now everybody gets an opinion on it. I'd like to hear yours, 203-333-9422. In the meantime, it looks as if something is hurting Joe Biden. I don't know if it's this impeachment process and the revelation and the constant association with the name Hunter Biden with all of this, but in Iowa, the newest poll is showing that Elizabeth Warren is at the head of the pack, and the second place person is not Joe Biden, it's none other than Bernie Sanders. And then the third is Pete Buttigieg, and then after that comes Joe Biden. So 1, 2, 3, 4. And Joe Biden has never done particularly well in Iowa. You know, he barely polled 2% when he was running for president eons ago. But the only person not to have won Iowa or New Hampshire to have actually taken the presidency, at least in recent presidential history, was none other than Bill Clinton himself. Remember, George H.W. Bush was the one who won Iowa to come out of nowhere and call it the Big Mo. So usually, if they miss Iowa, they've got to take New Hampshire. And if they miss both, it's been a very long time, that anybody has actually become the president. Now, of course, you realize when Bill Clinton became president, he became president with 39.4% of the vote, a plurality. And that was the lowest margin of the popular vote that had made someone president in many, many years. We've got Stephen on the line. Stephen is calling from where? Where is Stephen calling from, Christian? Where have we got Stephen from?
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh, hi, Stephen from Bridgeport. Hello. Welcome to the show today.
This is your New York friend, the kid from Long Island.
Oh,
how
yes, of course. Hi, Stephen. Hello. Welcome back.
It's Lisa with an R at the end. Not the way Connecticut pays people say it with an ER, right? It's not Lisa, it's Lisa.
It's definitely Lisa. And my mother says it should have been Elizabeth, but that's another whole conversation. So,
Elizabeth could be Liza, too. If it's spelled with a Z, then it could be. I have a sister-in-law whose legal name is Elizabeth. She goes by Liza. And my sister-in-law is Lisa, but it's not Elizabeth. So a lot of names can come out of Elizabeth. Beth, Liz, Lisa, whatever.
That's right.
Anyway,
yeah.
What I called for is what you're talking about. You know, wouldn't it be nice if these people would come to the podium and bring the American people something good, like something like, you know, we're going to put a 15-year challenge. We're going to try to cure one cancer from the boys' team and one from the women's team. Let's try to get prostate and breast. Let's get two off the table.
Yeah.
But all these politicians, especially lately the Democrats, it's impeachment. It's this. And there's things that the country needs. I mean, take Bridgeport alone. Every sidewalk and street is broken and whatever. I'm just using that as an example. But every time they come to the podium, you know, whatever. And you know what I love? And other people have said it. Paul has said it in the afternoon and other commentators. You flip that in our area, 67 and 68. So you go between Fox and MSNBC. And on a news day, you would think you were in two different countries.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's crazy.
You know, like, you go back and forth. You say to yourself, now you would think that the killing of the ISIS guy would be on both stations. You know, you would think that that would be something. You know, years ago, when it was just 247 or whatever, I'm sure they had their slant one way or the other. But for the most part, when the Challenger blew up, and you went to the three major stations, it was all about the Challenger and, you know, the record. It wasn't about, maybe it was done a racist thing against women or whatever. But lately, it's become a sport. It's become a sport. And they come to the podium and all this impeachment stuff or whatever. Like, there's so many things the country needs. There's so many things. And I'm not a liberal, but there's so many things the country needs. Like when Kennedy challenged us to get a man on the moon. Okay, that wasn't the cure for cancer. But when that guy stepped off the moon on July 20th, 1969, I was like 12 years old. You felt like we were all stepping off the moon.
Right.
You know,
right.
Forget Kennedy's personal life for a minute, but there was a challenge. When you watch that movie, The Right Stuff, and you see how, you know, whatever, or the movie Maroon, when those guys were trapped there, how the country, and the way the country came together at 9/11, but they come to the podium with nonsense. It's just like, you know, they got voted in. They took over the House or whatever, the Democrats, whatever. But I don't see anybody talking about health care or something for the elderly. Now, Trump signed a $1.8 billion package for autism, research for families or whatever. You know how much coverage that got on the news? Who's that?
Well, right? I hear what you're saying. Listen, I will tell you something else. Trump signed, by all measures, one of the few bipartisan but very significant criminal reform bills.
Right.
He doesn't get any credit for that. Zip
and then on
zero.
The night that happened, Fox is reporting that, and you go over to Larry O'Donnell, and they're talking about something totally different. You know what? I know they all probably got a little bad baggage somewhere, or whatever. Okay. But let's go to work. When I look at Adam Schiff, whatever, he's talking about this, the other guy, now they're about impeachment. Don't you people have some, and probably on us, on my side too. I don't want to, you know, your politics.
So let me ask you something, Steve. If you assumed these facts are true, that President Trump had tried to get the Ukrainian president and the Ukrainian country to give him some dirt on Joe Biden in exchange for the support of aid, what would you have Congress do about it? I mean, let's say these facts land on their lap and they're credible and they're true. The State Department says they're true. People who have spent their life in government are deeply troubled by what they see as an abuse of the presidency. So what would you have them do?
I would say no one is above the law.
Okay. All right. And then what would you have them do?
Well, if they have to go through the process, I understand whatever the angry. I get that.
Okay.
But it seems like that's all they do.
I hear you.
In other words, that should be a secondary story to health care for the elderly or a pill program for whatever or cancer research or Alzheimer's or you know, if I'll give you an example. My mother is going to be 90 years old in April. She has a little bit of a health problem. She was diagnosed to be a diabetic when she was, I think, 45 years old. Okay. Now, when you get it, let's say someone was being diagnosed as a diabetic today and they were 45, right? And so you'd say, well, gee, you know, maybe in 20 years they'll have something, you know, 20 or 30 years. My mother has been a diabetic for 45 years. You know what her treatment is? The same thing it started with back in 1978. She never had to take insulin. She takes a pill. Almost half a century has passed. Are we curing anything with spinal cord?
Steven, I don't know if you heard my show the other day, but the single greatest medical device invention, according to the Galien Awards, and I was at the dinner last Thursday night, was an introduction of a sensor for people with diabetes who no longer have to prick themselves all day long to see their sugar level. So, and that's a huge advance.
That's good, but we're not at a cure. We're not fixing anything. They have a test for everything in the world. They'll test you a colonoscopy. They could test you for everything you got. This kind of cancer, melanoma. They got a myanoma.
I hear your point, Steven. I hear it.
But you never hear anybody say, okay. You know, like I always use the example, whether it's a Republican, Democrat. If no one is above the law, but that should be on the back burner. The people, Adam Schiff or whatever, and Steve Scalise, and all the red, blue, purple, should be working on things. The forefront should
Steve,
be
I get
the
it.
People. You know
I
what I mean?
It. I
Not
get it.
Every time you turn on.
I get it, and I thank you for the call. I'm going to have to run now because we're at 11:30.
You do a great show, and
thank
don't
you,
ever
Steve.
Lose the accent.
All right, I will. That's Steve from Bridgeport. We'll be right back. WICC 600.
Did I make a good point? Did I make a good point?
You did. The Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the show. It's 1131, 203-333-9422. As we continue to have a conversation, it seems that some of you think the priorities need to be shifted, and some of you believe that President Trump is getting a raw deal, and others of you are keeping an open mind, but nonetheless, you think that this country has become so impossibly polarized. And, you know, it really seems like it has. That's one of the things that Scott Pelley was talking about yesterday, the approaching what he called the Cold Civil War. And that's what he was talking about. So we've got Roberto on. And Christian, do we know where Roberto is from? We know where Roberto is from. We're going to give it a call. Hold on and stay there. 203-333-9422. As we keep Christian very busy. Roberto, where are you from?
I was born in Chile.
Oh, Roberto, but I mean, where do you live now? And that's what I meant.
Well, I'd like to say good morning. I'm very happy for your show. You do a great job.
Thank you, Roberto. What's on your mind today?
Listen, no prisoner is perfect. You know, people make a mistake, a lot of things. But all I can say, why we don't working together? Listen, Chile is the best country and economy right now in South America and Central America. But now we have a lot of issues, but we're going to fix in the country again, all together working. Why we don't do this? You know, I feel very proud come to this country. Now we're behind 10 years in everything, in economy, in education, and...
Roberto, sorry that we lost you, but you can call right back. You can call right back, 203-333-9422. Oh, there's Roberto. We got him back. Hi, Roberto. Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it. I mean, like I say, I mean, I'm very happy being in this country. It was my dream. Before, it was everything, no problems, job, education. I learned the language. I speak 6 languages. I do a lot of things for police department. I'm a professional bodyguard and professional martial artist.
Oh,
I think I was
right.
Talked to you,
you
before.
Did call
I
before.
Talked to you
that's
before.
Right. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. Well, you know, Roberto, yeah. It's very sad because I didn't even report on this. It's sort of in the midst of everything else. I didn't get to it, but there were astonishing statistics that came out of the federal government this week about how few fourth graders and sixth graders are reading on grade level and how few are doing math on math level. It's like 2 out of 3 can't read or write. It's unbelievable.
Kind of very sad.
Yeah, but it's not only sad, it's our future. What's going to happen if our kids don't read and write?
There's going to be a lot of issues.
I would
because,
say
you know,
so.
The new generation, the new millennium, are going to be the future of this country.
I know.
And
I know.
We're getting all in all, and we got to do something. I mean, why we're all working together for everything? Republican and Democrat are working together.
Roberto, that's you know, the problem is that I think that... I actually know when I think it started. I actually think it started... when Newt Gingrich came to power, when Bill Clinton was president. This is my own opinion. But Newt Gingrich, he looked at everything as a war. And, for example, there used to be a bipartisan committee of Republicans and Democrats who would get together to decide what bills should get on the floor of the House. He disbanded that committee. That committee had been around for 50 years. He had disbanded it. He disbanded a lot of the norms, the civil norms and the civilized norms that kept people from both sides, that kept people on both sides of the aisle working together. And when he did his contract with America, he was really only talking about bringing Republicans to the table in order to get the Democrats to agree, but he looked at everything, Newt Gingrich, as if it was us against them, and he put into place things as Speaker of the House that I think led to where we are today. And I really think that this idea that if you're not on my side, that you're not on America's side, has started a long time ago. It isn't just adopted by Republicans. There are plenty of Democrats who see it that way as well. But it's that attitude, Roberto, that has led to where we are today. And it's a bad attitude. It's a bad attitude.
One more thing. I was on CVS a few months ago. Some lady that can't pay the medicine, and I paid this medicine for her because we're so much money. The insurance, they don't cover this medicine. So I open my wallet and I pay cash.
Did you do that, Roberto? How nice of you.
Yes.
How kind of you.
I've always helped people. Believe me, because, you know, I receive so much in my life. I'm You know, I have a wife and kids. But I've always do something because this is my job, be bodyguard, be professional martial artist. I've always take care of people so much.
Well, you know, Roberto, character is what you do when no one's looking. So that's a beautiful good deed. And, okay, it's 11:36. It's the Lisa Wexler show today. We're having a couple of possible technical difficulties, but we're going to get through it and buy it. We're cool.
Hey, so you have a great
Dan,
weekend.
Thank you. You too, Roberto. And I appreciate you calling. I really do.
Yeah, you have a great weekend and great show you have.
Thank you so much, hon. Thank you. It's 1137-203-333-9422. We still have thousands of people without power here in Connecticut this morning from a Halloween that was windy and wet and a little bit scary. Over 400,000 people altogether on the eastern seaboard, but in the tens of thousands here in Connecticut, over 70,000 before I went on air, which was approximately 10 o'clock this morning. So in the meantime, in terms of weather, we can expect that the degrees are going to go way down. Our temperature is going way down. In fact, they're anticipating some kind of a freeze. And I think that behooves us to make sure we've got our boots ready. Listen, it's Friday. We know we're losing an hour on Sunday. Tony and Melissa have been really clear to get you ready for the fact that we fall back and spring forward. We lose an hour on Sunday. So we get an extra hour of sleep. In other words, the clock goes back an hour, so we get an extra hour of sleep. But that means that we lose daylight savings time, which means it'll be a little bit more light in the morning, but a lot less light in the evening. And to me, it officially announces the beginning of winter. So I get ready for winter. It doesn't depress me. I'm not one of those people that is affected by seasonal affective disorder. If you are, I urge you to get one of those lights and do what you can to make sure you're walking in the sunshine. But I think that winter really does begin, for me anyway, it begins when the lights go out around 4:30 in the afternoon. 203-333-9422 at 11:38. In other stories you may have missed, there were some horrid things that went on in the country around Halloween. A 7-year-old girl was shot in the neck while trick-or-treating in Chicago. Can you imagine such a horrible thing? She was out with her family, an unintended victim. Multiple offenders opening fire? I mean, seriously. And 4 killed in a mass shooting in California at a Halloween party? This was located just east of Berkeley. Nobody knows exactly why. There was some kind of party and somebody opened fire. Too many crazy people with guns again and again and again. And speaking of that, listen to this story. Listen to this one. Pacific Gas and Electric is asking frustrated customers to stop shooting at its employees. You want to talk about frustration? The people who need the utility company workers to get their lights back on are so angry with them that they're shooting at them. PG&E CEO Bill Johnson said, our employees in the field have been targets of misguided attack repeatedly. Not just verbal abuse, but threats on their lives. One was assaulted after being cornered in his vehicle. Several have been shot at. Johnson added that one employee driving a company vehicle was intentionally run off the road. Come on, people. Utility workers are incredibly brave. They work in terrible weather conditions. They go up in these cabooses that are incredibly dangerous. They're dealing with electricity at their own, you know, cost and well-being. They're doing it in horrid weather conditions. I think we need to give them a break. Don't shoot the messenger. It's not their fault the lights are out. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back with our guest. We're going to be talking to an officer of the Greenwich Police Department who put up some signs, and he created a lot of controversy in town, Captain Mark Kordick, and he's now been placed on administrative leave. So stay tuned for a conversation with this officer of the Greenwich Police Department when we return on the Lisa Wexler Show. Coming right up. I was very interested when I saw a couple of days ago on the Greenwich Free Press and other publications that Captain Mark Kordick had been put on paid administrative leave because he is accused of placing political signs which associate Fred Camillo, who is running as a Republican for first electman in Greenwich, with Donald Trump. And Fred Camillo did not pay for the signs, and they were not endorsed by him. So when when Captain Mark Kordick admitted that he was the person who purchased the signs. The captain of the Greenwich Police Department, Mr. Heavey, Captain Heavey, decided that he should be placed on administrative leave. And I really wanted to hear from our next guest, Captain Kordick himself, in his own words, about the situation, because it brings to light the issues of free speech, free expression. We're in a political time right now. There's a big election coming up in Greenwich for first electman. It's an open seat for the first time in a long time. And Mr. Kordick is also a Greenwich resident and a Greenwich voter. So, Officer Kordick, hello and welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show, and thank you for being on the show today.
It's entirely my pleasure, Attorney Wexler.
Thank you so much. So call me Lisa. I'll call you, Officer. Okay. You're entitled to that, but please call me Lisa.
You can call me Captain if you're going to call me anything.
I'll call you Captain. Why not? All right, Captain.
That's fine.
All right, so Captain, first question. What prompted you to buy these signs to begin with? Why did you buy them?
I'm a local resident. I'm politically active. I've been following the campaign for first selectman. The current Republican first selectman announced that he would not be running again. It's a charged political race locally. I am a registered Democrat. I've, admitted that to everyone, which is a rarity in my profession. Most police officers are not of the same political persuasion that I am. And I know both candidates for first selectman, personally. I've been in town for 31 years. I'm familiar with all the people involved. I've worked with Mr. Camillo on charity projects before. None of these people are unknown entities to me, and I'm familiar with Mr. Camillo's politics. And I know that Mr. Camillo supported President Trump in 2016. I am diametrically opposed to the president and many of his policies, and have been very vocal and, unabashed about that. And when Mr. Camillo, over the course of the campaign has failed to distance himself from the president, and, whenever he's asked about the president or national politics, he always insists that those are not local issues and they shouldn't affect local elections. But he's willingly continues to associate himself with the Republican Party. And Mr. Trump is the head of the Republican Party, and he's the sitting president of the United States and is a Republican. And he's, Mr. Camillo's been on the record as indicating that not only did he vote for him in 2016, that he would vote for him again in 2020.
So
and he's been provided opportunities to distance himself from the president and his policies, and he hasn't done that. And every time he's asked about it, he always insists that, national political issues don't affect Greenwich residents, and that is just it's abjectly untrue. The environment doesn't stop at the Greenwich town line. LGBTQ rights don't stop at the town line. Women's rights don't stop at the town line. The federal budget deficit doesn't start at the town line, stop at the town line. And all I did was purchase some political signs that point that out. I exercised my right as every political citizen has, every citizen has a right to.
So let me ask you this, Captain Kordick, because I think we're chatting with Captain Mark Kordick of the Greenwich Police Department. The signs on the bottom of them say FredCamillo.com, and you bought the name FredCamillo.com, but you're not Fred Camillo. So, first of all, why did you do that? And do you think that was the right thing to do altogether, because you're not Fred Camillo? So why buy a website that has somebody else's name on it?
Well, anyone can register any domain name. I originally knew that the name became available shortly after Mr. Camillo announced his candidacy. I actually went to I wanted to go on the website and look at his political positions. I assumed that he owned the name, and when I typed it in my web browser, it didn't refer to a Fred Camillo site. It was publicly available for purchase, so I purchased it. And for many months, for a few days after that, I think I registered the domain name originally on March 10th, and a few days after that, the Camillo campaign did get a campaign website up, and I had FredCamillo.com directed at the campaign website for, several months, because I hadn't formed an opinion yet about Mr. Cavillo. And okay. when I did form that opinion, and when it became apparent to me that he was continuing to support the president and his positions, that I, you know, redirected the site to Americans for Trump. I mean, he's a Mr. Cavillo is a registered Republican running on a Republican ticket. I don't understand why he would possibly be upset or offended mm-hmm. by being associated with a sitting president of the United States if he supports his policies. And, I mean, no one requires Mr. Cavillo to be a Republican candidate for office. You can run for first selectman of Greenwich as an independent or a Democrat or any other party you like. I really do not understand his, you know, he described the signs as a despicable act. Why would he continue to be a Republican, be part of the Republican Party by choice, mm-hmm. if he considers his own president to be despicable? It really doesn't make sense to me.
We're chatting with Captain Mark Hordick, 203-333-9422. So I hear what you're saying. Can you understand why some people would think, however, that the sign was misleading and therefore that it's not something that you should have put up because it's you're not of that campaign and therefore it's misleading? What do you think about that?
I don't think the sign is misleading at all. It exactly expresses Mr. Camillo's on-the-record opinion.
Okay.
Is it wrong for me to? Is it misleading to? I mean, I could understand if there were some factual content of the sign that was incorrect, that might be misleading. But even misleading political speech mm-hmm. is protected speech.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm not going to. Yes, we can get into that in just a bit. But I'm talking about the facts, not about whether it's protected or not. I'm going to get to that. But just the idea that people that Fred Cavillo himself didn't put it up and it had his name on the bottom. You could see why he would be upset about that, right? Because it's giving a message to his community. And I hear what you're saying. You're saying you have no choice. Your message is you have to be with President Trump unless you disavow him. And he's trying to keep President Trump out of a local election, right?
No, he's trying to distance himself from the unpopular, and in my opinion, unethical policies of, you know, a president who he has gone on record as supporting
okay.
and indicating that he will continue to support in 2020.
So let me ask you this, Captain. What was the reason that you were told that you were on administrative leave? I mean, you must have been very surprised. You're a Greenwich resident. You're a Greenwich voter. You must have been very surprised. What was the reason that the chief gave you when he put you on administrative leave?
The chief was actually out of town on Monday when I was placed on administrative leave. The police department the following day did issue me a letter signed by the deputy chief of police, which indicates, and I quote, that I've been placed on paid administrative leave, quote, pending an administrative review of any potential departmental policy violations related to your off-duty involvement in the matter of placing controversial political signs throughout the town, unquote.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure. They're apparently conducting a review to determine if any policies are violated. I'm not sure exactly why I'm on leave if no one can decide that there's been any policy violations, but I am.
Is the police union taking your side in this, officer?
I'm not a unionized employee. I'm a managerial exempt employee.
Oh.
So I actually, when I was promoted from the there are 155 police officers, or sworn police officers in Greenwich. Actually, I think right today there's 154. All of us but five managerial employees, the chief, the deputy chief, and the three captains are unionized. So when I was promoted from lieutenant to captain, I left the bargaining unit.
So
I'm a non-represented employee.
So where does that leave you? Do you have an attorney representing you in this matter?
I do.
And is your attorney going to challenge this leave and challenge all of it? Is that what your attorney is going to do?
Well, at this point, we're waiting to see what the town's position is relative to, you know, making a decision about whether or not they think that I've violated some policy of the police department. I actually, a few years ago, one of my early jobs when I was promoted to captain was to collect up all of the police department policies and directives and put them all together in one single place, a book that we call the Unified Policy Manual. And so I'm pretty familiar with the policies, literally, since I kind of wrote the book on them. There's, you know, 600 pages of them.
Wow.
I'm not aware of protected political speech being a policy violation of the Greenwich Police Department.
Right. Well, I would be surprised if it were. So I guess from the...
Well, and obviously I would not have engaged in the conduct if I thought it was violative of a policy.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Given the punishment you've received altogether, do you have any regrets about buying the signs? I know you said on the record that you didn't put them up, but obviously you wanted them up. Otherwise, you wouldn't have bought them just to stay in your garage. So do you
right.
have...
I'm not...
Yeah, right.
I'm not disavowing any association with the signs.
Right.
I'm happy that I did it. I was asked about it, I freely admitted to doing it. I wasn't trying to hide anything or be deceptive in any way.
Right. And do you have any regrets, though, given the punishment that you've received? Do you have any just regrets altogether about doing it?
Well, at this point, the town would argue that I haven't received any punishment since I am on paid leave.
Well, but it's not just paid. I mean, you're not doing your job, right? I mean, don't you like...
Believe me, I want to get back to work more than anyone to continue to, work for and protect the citizens of Greenwich. I'm a Greenwich resident myself. It's absurd to me that we're wasting taxpayer dollars to pay my salary when the town's not getting any work out of me. I would be happy to continue to do that work. So, yes, I'm very interested in returning to work as soon as I can.
And
that said, no, I don't regret, purchasing the signs. I made an honest effort, dot all my I's, cross all my T's. I called the Connecticut State Elections Enforcement Commission on October 4th. I told them what I wanted to do before I ordered the signs. They have a record of that call. They acknowledge that, they had a conversation with me and explained the rules to me and that my, plan wasn't violative of any kind of election law rules. Later that day, actually at 6:05 p.m. on October 4th, I ordered the signs and they showed up, a couple weeks later.
So let me ask you, Captain Kordick, we're chatting with Captain Mark Kordick of the Greenwich Police Department. Have the Democrats been supportive of your overall substantive position that Fred Camillo ought to be associated with Donald Trump publicly? And in other words, where are the Democrats on this? Are they supporting you and supporting your political view?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, one of the things that the SEC told me was that I couldn't engage in this political speech as an individual person if I coordinated that activity with any group or campaign.
I see.
I'm not associated officially with any group or campaign. I'm a registered Democrat.
Right.
I'm not a member of the Greenwich Town Committee. I didn't in advance of or even after the fact specifically discuss the plans with anyone associated with any campaign. That said, every single like-minded person I've talked to about this is very supportive of the signs, recognize my right to free political speech. And, overall, I think other than the objections of the Camillo campaign and the Republican Town Committee of the Town of Greenwich, I've experienced an overwhelmingly positive public reaction to the signs.
Are the signs still up?
No. Apparently the signs were removed last week by the Republican Town Committee, which we're still trying to put a handle on. Somehow the police department itself and the town attorney's office authorized the removal of the signs. I'm currently taking that up with the State Elections Enforcement Commission.
Okay.
I don't really understand that piece.
Okay.
I actually ordered 50 signs. 39 of them were put up on town property alongside other political signs. That's another important consideration. These signs didn't go anywhere that they weren't 100% entitled to be. 15 days before an election, the town permits political signs to be put on town property. every place, every one of these signs went was on town property next to other posted political signs of the same type.
Captain Kordick, I'm going to have to leave it there because we're coming up on noon. But I thank you very much for being on the show today, Captain Mark Kordick of the Greenwich Police Department, exercising,
anytime, my pleasure,
exercising his rights. We are the Lisa Wexler Show. You have a great weekend. We'll be back behind the mic on Monday. Stay tuned for Paul Pacelli at 2.